Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Juvo Hub podcast. Just before we get into our show, I wanted to tell you a bit about our sponsor, Real HR, a Higginbotham company. I have known their leadership team for many years now, and I'm telling you that you will be impressed with the level of dedication they have toward their clients. It is phenomenal. They work a lot with human resource departments in the property management space. So if you have questions or needs involving employee benefits, payroll administration, employee screening, and so much more, they are the ones to talk to. And they are under the umbrella of their parent company, Higginbotham, which has a whole other level of services related to insurance needs and benefits. So definitely check them out. That's real-hr.com, R-E-A-L-HR.com, and see it for yourself. And of course, there'll be a link in the show notes to their site. So a big, big, huge Juvo Hub, thank you for being our sponsor. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 8 of Juvo Hub. Juvo Hub is your self-education helping hand in property management. I am your host, and my name is Jonathan Saar with MarketMe Social. And with me today is a very good friend of mine and colleague, Mr. Mike Brewer. Mike, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Jonathan? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you. It's good to catch up, and you and I, we've had a lot of conversations over the years. And just to give everyone a little bit of background on my friend, he is the chief operating officer at the Radco Companies. Mike has his own video podcast over on Facebook called The Apartment Hacker, and he also has his own website. So he brings a wealth of information and experience to the table. And so I'm really excited about our conversation today, and especially thinking about where property management has been having to pivot, especially in the last couple of months and perhaps many months in the future. It'd be wonderful to hear your take on what's been working and some great tips that we can share with our audience today.
Yeah, so, no doubt.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, excuse me, I have to pause for a minute because I have been wanting to say this for a long time after listening to so many of your shows. So it is my mission to tease out human potential in the multifamily space.
Thumbs up, two thumbs up. I love it.
So
nailed it.
Yeah, no, you say it way better. I love that and how you open up your show, and it's such a wonderful branding of who you are and your personality. So that's what we're going to do again today. We're going to see how we can tease out some human potential in the multifamily space and for all other housing genres that may be listening in property management. That's our goal today. All right, so let's dive in, my friend. So thinking of COVID and just in general, you know, a lot of shifts and changes within property management, how would you describe Radco and its leadership in what it's had to do, how it's had to pivot in the way that we do business as of today? And any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the thing that I would lead with specific to Radco is how wonderful, despite the negative nature of this circumstance, how wonderful it was to work for an ownership group. We're a wholly owned company, so we own all of our assets and we self-manage all of our assets. But from top to bottom, the organization was very supportive of being very nimble and very quick to make decisions. So there was not this decision by committee in the midst of this crisis. We were able to just sit down, understand the data that was in front of us, and make very swift decisions as it related to things that we needed to do, whether it be, you know, keeping our team members 100% employed and 100% paid throughout the length of the crisis, mm-hmm. or things as simple as how and when we were going to shut down amenities or close the doors to the general public as it related to our business offices. But the big, wonderful, beautiful thing was that we were in total alignment And I really attribute that to the fact that our core values are deeply imbued in the minds of our owners and also our team members. So we were just able to not think, but rather just act based on the data that was put in front of us related to COVID.
That's awesome. Yeah. So values that are embedded in culture really help facilitate action. Is that a good assessment?
It's a much more succinct way to put it. And it's when you're in that type of environment, your ability to pivot and be nimble and get the end user the information that they need to make their own set of decisions, it's just a wonderful place to be. And I can't say enough about the Radco leadership structure from the owner right down to the people who are executing things on the ground. It was awesome to see it happen.
Yeah. And you guys have a fairly big portfolio. So, you know, I can only imagine already, you know, when you think of how spread out your properties are in numerous states. And now we're talking about, communication with, there may have been an office team environment, and now a lot more people are having to work from home at this time and maybe for the foreseeable future. Overall, just a lot of changes. So you use the word pivot. So thinking of your years in the industry, like how have you seen like communication strategies evolve and how has that kind of served you in this time frame that we're in now?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would pull on communication evolving over a long bit of time has really been, it's been exaggerated by the introduction of social media and other types of media into the equation, right? And so in my mind, it's almost become harder to communicate. Because there is so much noise and so much distraction in the marketplace. So even if you're trying to do internal communications, I know audio can't see this, but I'm holding up a phone. Even though you're doing internal communications, mm-hmm. you're competing with someone's phone that sits on the desk, right? And you're competing with alerts that come up on the computer. And so I think the thing that I've seen evolve is that introduction of noise. But I think the thing that I've learned over that bit of time is that repetition, it's an old skill, right? Or it's an old saying, an old axiom. Repetition is really the mother of the skill in terms of communicating. And so what I've done personally is gotten used to the saying something so many times that I get sick of hearing myself say it and then knowing that is the beginning of people actually hearing you.
Okay.
Is when you get tired of hearing yourself talk about the same theme over and over and over, that's finally the moment in time when people start to hear your message. So that in mind, we, Radco introduced a daily huddle. Say about a year ago. We tried to do it 2 years ago, but we weren't quite ready for the introduction of this. But the daily huddle and the primary purpose of the daily huddle is to bubble up issues and concerns in the organization so that we can solve them very quickly. And that's supplemented by a weekly meeting and a monthly meeting and a quarterly meeting. And it sounds like a lot of meetings, but going back to that premise of repetition, it's the right frequency to get business done. And right. We've treated meetings as the work and work as the meeting. So you're getting things done in the meeting. You're not just sitting in a room taking in information. You're actually doing stuff with the information real time.
That's amazing. And it's interesting how you reference repetition. It made me think of just, you know, personally for my own business where it's taken a minute or more, and we've read about these things because of the pandemic, where that mental frame of mind has had to change. And it was forced. I mean, this was definitely forced. You can no longer do this and you need to do this. But the body, the brain was slow to adopt. And so there was that time period of being able to, you know, embrace what was changing. So, you know, I can definitely see that from a company perspective. Everybody has their own unique, you know, communication style, but now they're trying to become kind of symbiotic, I guess, so to speak, where it's like everything is cohesive and working well together. So that's cool. And it's kudos to you and to Radco for having that patience and understanding there's a difference between here's our policy today, boom, you know, and understanding as leaders the time it would take to make sure everybody is on board and understands it and has gotten used to it. So that's really, really awesome. You mentioned a moment ago social media too, and that is part of your strategy. Now you and I we can go back in the day to Mark Juline and Mike Whaling, Eric Brown, you know, Bill Sitko and others. There's so many others, Lisa Trozine. We can go on and on about all the conversations that we had online and offline as marketing, from a marketing perspective, where social media was going. And here we are today, and it's no longer the social media program. It's just the communication tool. It's no different than, you know, we may have had a telephone department or a fax department. I don't know. I have heard of that before and have personally experienced people who had a fax department, but that was because of the challenge of adopting that communication as a tool. So anyway, we know that you and I, we won't get into that. Social media is just communication. So, and you guys are very, very, very transparent. You know, you share regularly on social media tools. So was there any challenges in your team embracing that as part of the Radco culture? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the short answer to that question is no, but the primary reason for that being a no is that we were very intentional about hiring team members that were already adept, or they were practitioners is probably the better way to put that. They were already practitioners from an individual perspective outside of the work world, right? And so when they showed up at Radco, or when we onboarded them into the culture and into the ecosystem, it was just natural for them to share now a business platform or a business brand because they were already practicing it from a personal perspective. So I think it's just been we've been intentional about it as an organization. And I think we'll certainly continue to be intentional about it as we sort of shift here. I think there's this, there's a moment in time now where we're shifting the data piece of marketing in social media and all the channels away from what I'd consider the creative side of marketing. As that happens, we're going to be intentional about hiring those people who are more analytical in nature, but with a marketing bent, so they can become an informant, so to speak, to the creative side of our marketing team. So we're kind of separating those two things into two separate silos, but we'll definitely continue to be intentional about the people that we hire into those roles.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And so again, just another part of the process that changes as you see things change and culture change and how consumers change. We have to be adaptable to all those changes. And for our listeners, you know, you definitely need to check out Radco's various communities and their social channels. So a link to their website will be there, but definitely kind of filter your way out and you'll see some amazing examples of what they're doing as a team. And even through this pandemic, some different things that they've been involved in to still keep engaged with their community. So virtual communication has become even more important than maybe it did even just a few months ago. So it's awesome that you guys have embraced that and continue to use that as a great way to communicate internally and with your residents. So that kind of leads me into, all right, so, you know, from our listeners' perspective, you know, they may be thinking, okay, well, how do I do this? You know, where do I begin to have good communication or a good social program? And to me, that always, it always spills over into what's the education component, you know, what's the training component, and training beyond, you know, okay, we've given our team their fair housing training, we've given them their harassment prevention training, and, you know, we go past that. We don't look at it as an expense, it's an investment. You and I have had gazillions of conversations about that. So what's Radco's perspective as you think of making sure that your team is educated, and how do you go about it? Do you have metrics that you guys review to understand its overall impact?
Yeah, this is as you implied there, it's been near and dear to my heart, just as it is near and dear to your heart, over a very long bit of time in this business. I mean, you can look behind me. It's education in my mind is, it goes beyond the threshold.
And for our listeners, that aren't watching this on YouTube, he has about 2,000 books. Okay, go ahead, Mike. Carry on.
Yeah, so sorry. So I think that it's definitely something that I'm inspired by. And I have this working theory, and I haven't quite fleshed this out, but I believe it will make its way into the workplace at some point. You and I have had conversations about this. I think in a utopian world, the work is the learning and the learning is the work. And those two things are one and the same. Such that your organizational design is designed around the learning so that you don't have this traditional sit in the classroom and learn how to do stuff. It's rather baked right into the workflows. And so to speak to what Radco is up to, we are right now trying to figure out how to embed the learning into the workflow so that it's just a natural part of your day. It's not something you have to peel away and go into a classroom for. You don't have to sit down and interact over video to get it done. And I'm not saying those two things aren't important. They are. But we're trying to design it such that you don't have to do that if you're a company that doesn't have a ton of resource to invest in that kind of thing.
Right.
You can design your workflow such that you're still getting that type of education.
Yeah.
And to speak to the metrics piece of it, we're constantly looking. The one that comes to mind most readily is we saw a problem with our closing percentages from a leasing perspective. And we were able to design some education around those areas of opportunity in the sales process where, got right down to asking for the money. And we had some innate fear to ask for the money. So we designed some things to speak to that fear. And we saw our shop scores increase, 20%. So we're paying attention to shop scores. We're paying attention to, pre-test, post-test kind of retention metrics. Certainly engagement as the coursework is going along. You can embed things into your educational learnings where you're surveying along the way to make sure that people are picking things up. So we have a broad range of things that we look at. But we're also looking at the ultimate outcome in the way of business happening, like the shop score increasing. So that now we know our closing percentages are following closely behind that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's cool that you kind of pull them all together. And I like the word you used a few times, how it's embedded. You know, I totally resonate with that and agree with you on there is a time and a place for overall, okay, here is our training session. And we love that because at that moment, we want to disconnect from the devices and from everything. We want to focus on the education that is being presented to us. But even with that goal, it's still very, very challenging. And so when it's embedded, then it's like we're always looking for ways as educators to increase retention in some way, and how can we go about doing that? And so it'll be interesting to see, what the future holds with education as a whole, and as we try to adopt some best practices from a retention. Well, let me ask you that, Mike, has that been something that you've thought about, or as leaders in your company, have you had that discussion? what has contributed to it when it comes to a training and then retention of that perspective. Any thoughts on that?
Maybe help me understand your question. I don't know that I understand your question specifically.
Yeah, that's okay. It's okay. So it's like sometimes, and again, this goes back to some conversations that you and I have had. It's like, okay, we can give someone, and I'll give you an example. We'll give someone a fair housing class and we reference a harassment class. But then a company's dealing with a fair housing violation. Well, how effective was that class? We know the training was there. They got an 88% on their exam or quiz, if that was associated to it. But now the legal department is still dealing with a fair housing challenge. And so that's what I mean from a retention standpoint. You know, you talked about your SHOP scores and training. Okay, you saw it. Obviously, they retained it, so their SHOP scores went up. So is besides the metrics, I guess, is more the question, like, what are your any thoughts or tips that you could share with the audience that would help their teams make sure they retain what they are trained on?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. So this goes back to, in my mind, the repetition of information and it, what we have talked about, as a lead into that conversation is the fact there's a stat out there that, people have the attention of a goldfish anymore, like 6-7
right.
seconds.
I
think it is.
Yeah.
And so knowing that is a basis for trying to imbue information in people's minds, knowing that their attention spans are very short in nature, we're moving towards sort of a soundbite model of education as opposed to very lengthy dialogue and kind of a dial-up service of education, so to speak. So we actually have a calendar where you can go in and you can sign up for a real-life one-on-one, just short coaching session on a specific thing that you might be struggling with. That ladders up into that theory of repetition in the sense that you've got that avenue, you've got the in-person avenue, you've got, we use Yardi as a platform, so their e-learning platform is there. We supplement that with other pieces of education. We have a Panopto site that we use where we can create our own video type training. And so there are all these opportunities to impart that information on people such that when it comes to actually applying the information, like now you've got it in your head and you're actually making application of it, it's a product of being exposed to it so many times that it just becomes sort of a natural part of your workflow and your effort.
Yeah.
So repetition, I think, is just the key to all of it, and doing it in ways that people like to learn. So not everybody likes to learn. It's that the whole, some people are kinesthetic, some people are visual, some people are Snapchat, some people are Facebook, some people are email, right?
Right. So. And that's cool. So, I mean, it sounds very, very dynamic overall and in some ways yielding to the different types of learners. So that's a huge, huge takeaway. You know, we can't just have one kind of training. We have so many different types of learners that are out there. And I love that thought of repetition, kind of go back to the fair housing. It's like, you know, the standard property management procedure is annual fair housing training. Okay, well, we deal with fair housing every single day. It's 365 days a year. So one day out of the year, even though it's very, very important, you need to have that. It's good to have that solid. It's as important to have that regular repetition, not just on fair housing, but on any topic. So that is awesome. And a lot that our audience really, really can take away with what they can put into play. And technology is a great tool. Like you mentioned, some technology solutions that may help facilitate that, so it doesn't always fall on a person who's having to communicate that. So this was fantastic, man. A lot of takeaways, you know, communication, how that's evolved, how you have worked with your team to give them and be patient with them, and help them adopt to changes in policy and how Radco mission statement and culture, what it is, and help them be part of it, feel part of that family. So really, 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 really appreciate having you. I look forward to having you on future episodes. That is for sure. But before we go, I always love to ask this of my guests. What one actionable tip could you share that has served you well as an educator?
So a couple of things I'd say. I'd say first and foremost, surround yourself with people like Jonathan. I mean that in the sense that you have such a passion about education and it sort of exudes from you, right? And so I think anyone who wants to understand the deeper meaning of learning and how to impart that on others should surround themselves with people that are passionate about it. And I mean that about you. You just exude education and in the delivery of that, really in service of people. I think I'd say second, and this is really based on something that it just baffles me. And I say this in the kindest respects, but I read a lot of exit surveys from team members that exit an organization, and they cite training as the one area that they didn't get enough of, right? And it's interesting to me, in a world of Google, in a world of, I mean, for $20, you can learn anything you want to learn, that education or training wasn't there for you. I would really encourage your listeners and your audience members to think about training and education as something that you do for yourself. It is a company's obligation to give you training, but if you really desire to be great in your life, or excellent in your life, excellent in your work world, it really is on you to be intentional about your education. Buy up the books, read them, surround yourself with great people like Jonathan, and go for it. It's a self process, not an outside process that you need to rely on somebody else to force upon you.
Yeah.
Do it yourself.
Yeah.
It's all out there.
That's awesome. Well, number one, thank you for that. And I feel the exact same way about you. Just very passionate. You and I, when we met, I don't know how many years ago, we just clicked, because I think we both had this very similar scope of what will it take to help other people and help them to learn about the industry and help them to learn about themselves and really, you know, make themselves happy within the industry, make a career out of it. And for your number two, yeah. So, I mean, that's like you and I were talking before the show. I mean, that's what Juvo Hub is all about. You know, it's self-education, an opportunity for people to really and not rely so much on what corporate does, but, you know, take advantage of it. But yeah, like what you do, I see on your post, your, what is it you call it? Your weekend reading or is that how the phrase that you use?
Night table reading.
Night table reading. That's it. Night table reading. Yeah. So whatever book that you're reading and I know you get a lot of takeaways from that. So yeah. Awesome. Great tips. Appreciate both of those. So those will definitely be in the show notes and highlight it. So we really appreciate that, Mike. So people always love to connect with our guests. So any preferred places that people can connect with you on?
You mentioned the Facebook page, Apartment Hacker, or I'm M. Brewer on Twitter. I look at that every now and then still.
Okay.
Today, but those are probably the two best places. Or you can find my email at Radco on the Radco website. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah. So everyone will be in the show notes, the link to his Facebook page where you can get those daily leadership and just thoughts for the day that are just awesome, where he's trying to tease out human potential in the multifamily space. That's what he does, Mr. Mike Brewer. So huge round of applause for our guest today. Mike, we really appreciate you being with us. So make sure everyone who's listening to connect with him. My name is Jonathan Saar. Thank you for joining us for episode 8 of the Juvo Hub podcast. We'll see you next time.